Well, this morning we are going to spend a little bit of time focusing on this idea of who the Lord is. And we go back to Jeremiah 9:23-24. Again and again, we've got to go back to it. And that we remind it, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Now, we often think that as we grow older, we become wiser. Not necessarily. And then we agree on, let not the mighty man glory in his might. And that doesn't happen too. You know, I had an uncle many, many years ago. I remember him as a bodybuilder. And he used to be able to swing the kids around his arms. Now his body is what we call dad's body type. You're not familiar with the idea? Okay, dad's body is a description of your typical older person who has long since and not seen a gym for a long time, has not exercised for a long, long time, and what they have is called a dad's body. Not a dead body, the dad's body. But think about this. It happens. So let not the mighty man glory in his might. Don't let the rich man glory in his riches. The challenge really is to glory in the Lord and the way we know him. That he understands me and he knows me, that I am the Lord. And it's important how he exercises righteousness, judgment, loving kindness, and all the that. This is the way we ought to know the Lord. Question is, how does that really, really work? And in Jeremiah chapter 10, we see a painful writing of something that disturbed Jeremiah quite significantly. And I think this is something that we need to look at because it's pretty valid for us too. In this world, you almost cannot help but pick up the things which are in the world, whether you want to look cool, as some people do, okay, whether we're going to pursue the things which are there, you know, Jeremiah's language is, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. The Gentiles word is a reference to those who were outside the commonwealth of Israel. Okay, and this is the way they look at, do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven. The Gentiles are dismayed at them. And every year, you're going to see, every new year, they are going to predict this is going to be this and that. Unfortunately, the church is not free from this. A couple of years ago, they were saying, look at the signs. There is a full blood moon coming. And people asked me to read about it, so I bought a book, you know, Full Blood Moon, and this was done by a famous Bible teacher and who insists that, you know, the Bible was written to give us signs in the heavens. But I totally disagreed with him. I said, what was going to happen? Okay. They predicted it will be this period of time. I said, wait, I will wait until it's over, then I'll tell you. We're now in 2016. The full blood moon was supposed to come in 2015, came and went. When was the blood moon? Where was the full moon? Where is the full blood moon? This is what we call the ways of the Gentiles, and it influences the church. And we shouldn't be worried about things like that. And we often do, unfortunately. And so some people cannot begin the day without first Googling, what are my stars today? And some people cannot begin the day till they read their horoscope. I call it the horoscope. And a lot of these things, that you read some of those things and they all say certain things. And, you know, the challenge of it all is to be very, very careful that we don't pick up the ways of the Gentiles. Meaning to say that we don't pick up worldly ways, superstitious ways, ways which are in fact quite detrimental to our own lives if we are not careful. So what is the alternative? I mean, this is something that we see this, you know, experienced in real life. Many years ago when I was in Sarawak ministering for the Lord, there was a lovely young lady and she was engaged to be married. And so she came to me one day and she said, with tears streaming down her eyes, that she had broken her engagement to the fiancé. And this young man was, of course, devastated. Why did she, you know, beautiful young lady, 20-something years old, plans had already been made to be married, and then she just canceled it. Could you tell me why? And she said, well, we were at a fun fair, and there somebody said, would you like to read your fortune? And the person read my fortune and said to me, the person you are going to marry will die. And she was so struck by that word, that so-called prophetic word from the person, and she decided that she will just end the engagement so that the fiancé will not die if gets married to her. Now, this is from real life. And you'd be surprised how many people are trapped in fearing this, in fearing that. And it is a very real fear. And in this day and age, more and more are people resorting to all kinds of things so that they can find some word of assurance, some word of encouragement that will help them cope with life. And I want to encourage us all that the best way we can help ourselves is to do what Jeremiah 9:24, let him who wants to glory, let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands that he knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in all the earth, for in these things I delight. This is Jeremiah 9:24. Now, we're going to take a look at chapter 10 now. And we need to look at this very, very important word. First, we want to establish for ourselves, this is a truth, this is my faith. And in verse 6 and 7, we want to establish this. And I very much want to hide this word and encourage you to hide this word in your heart. I have been encouraging the pastoral staff, including the kindy staff, to hide the Lord's word in the heart. And this is one of those texts that you really want to hide, to establish this word in your own heart. It is much that there's none like you, O Lord. We need to establish within our heart, there is none like the Lord. For you are great, and your name is great in mine. That was the verse we memorized last Sunday. But look at verse 7. And it is something that we want to add on. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among all the wisdom, all among wise men of the nations, in all their kingdom, there is none like you. Compared to the Lord, everybody else is dull-hearted and foolish. This is important. Many, many years ago, there was a man who was called Nostradamus. I don't know whether you know this man Nostradamus, but you know, in part of my own studies, I have to go and read Nostradamus too. So I read about his life, and this guy is supposed to be a powerful, powerful person who can gaze into the future. In fact, when the 9/11 tragedy took place, you know where they looked? They looked at Nostradamus' book of prophecy to figure out where it was. So I went back to it again and look at it. What was he? How could he know this? And it's all nonsense. You know what he does? He writes in a very difficult, called quatrains. Quatrains is like a poetic form, you know. You write it in parts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 2, 3, 4. And then you work in quatrains.
And then what you do is, what they do is to take up one line here, one word there, one phrase the other place. And then, you see, can you see? This is 9, this is 11, these are towers, this is war, this is tragedy. See, therefore he predicted. None of Notre Dame's word are just like Jeremiah. It's straightforward. You can read for yourself. You can dissect it. You can analyze it. You can exegete it. You can check with the dictionary, lexicon, whatever. And it would be as clear as day. But not that kind. So I have not read Nostradamus for some time now, nor do I plan to, unless somebody says, let's read it. And I've tried to figure out what he's saying, and I have no idea where he's coming from, where he's going to end. In fact, nobody knows. See, this man would spend hours looking at the cauldron. Every day he would spend hours. Nobody disturbs him. And he stares into the cauldron for hours. And then he will write his quatrains. And nobody knows exactly what he writes about. And he would always constantly talk about the things that he writes about, and a lot of people are enamored of him, unfortunately. I want to suggest that we establish our own personal faith in the Lord along these lines. There is none like you, O Lord. Your name is great, and your name is great in might. I think this is important. Okay? Now in verse 7, he says, there is no one like you. This is your rightful due. Compared to all the wise men of the world, there is none like the Lord. And I like in chapter 10, in verse 10, this is a wonderful word. But the Lord is the true God. This is now extolling the Lord. First we establish it. Then the next part of it, you extol it. And you extol the name of the Lord, and you say, but the Lord is the true God. Okay? And he is the living God and the everlasting King. How wonderful it is to be able to extol the Lord in this special way. Now, we go on further to read in chapter 10. And then I really wish we can memorize all these Bible verses. I want to tell you that I have. Because it's such a real and rich thing to memorize. Look at verse 16. And it is absolutely wonderful to be able to say this. The portion of Jacob is not like them. He is the maker of all things. Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. You know, I like this word, the portion of Jacob, very, very much. Many, many years ago, I memorized a beautiful text in Psalm 16 where this idea of the Lord being our portion becomes a very personalized thing. 16 and verse 5. Psalm 16 and verse 5. And I want to encourage you to hide this word for yourself in your own hearts. But it has to be personal. See, memorizing the Lord's word is a very personal thing. If you're memorizing it to pass exams, it's not going to work very far, go very far. Memorizing, because it's a contest, you can memorize it for the moment and it's going to go after that. But there is nothing like making it personal. And this is the personal word here. Look at this 16 verse 5. Remember, the portion of Jacob, the Lord is his name. Now, the psalmist David makes it his own. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Now, we talk about inheritance. We talk about what we're going to have or what we're not going to have. You know, I think the greatest thing we could ever have is the Lord himself. And so this is what David chose. I mean, he is king. He's a very wealthy man. He's a very mighty man. He's a man of great wisdom too. And yet he says, this is not my portion. And I'll tell you what my portion is. The Lord is my portion. And I think this is something that is really, really wonderful to be able to see. The two young men you're going to see, I have already begun to speak to them about the future ministry that they are going to speak about or to focus on. And I'm glad I can share this with you. Both of them are going to leave very, very, very prominent positions. Eugene is with the GIC, and Moses is a VP in a bank. And they're going to give up all those things and say, you know, we're going to go deeper in our knowledge, in our faith in the Lord. And this is what we're going to see. The Lord becomes their portion. This is what it means. The Lord is my portion. You are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Isn't it wonderful to be able to have a faith that says, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my inheritance. And I wouldn't have it any other way. This is where we are able to say, let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and he knows me, that I am the Lord. And his name is the Lord of hosts. And we make him our portion. So it's not a question of just simply say, well, we know all these things here. So I was speaking to them and I said that I'm not going to ask them to concentrate on young people's ministries, because we already have two others coming in and they're looking after the young people's ministries. And I said to them, you know what I want you to concentrate on? To look after the older folks. And Moses warmed up to that idea very, very quickly, very easily. And he says that he wants to especially look after the bilingual brethren, the Chinese-speaking brethren. You know, and so this is the team that we're going to have one of these days. We're going to have people who are looking after the children's ministries. We're going to have people who are going to look after the young people's ministries. But we also want people who are going to be there and say, you know, we're going to care for the older folks. And all of you are going to be older folks very soon. It's a matter of when, not if. Right? When you begin to see the little white hair coming up and it is not getting some solution to put it on there, and it's not going to help a whole lot. It's going to, when you can't see and you're going to, what am I seeing and reading? And half the time, you're going to change spectacles. And you're going to watch. We're going to pray that God would. This is my prayer. That God would raise up people with for specific reasons, for special and special ministries. But before they can enter into all those things, the great challenge is to be able to make the Lord their portion. I think this is something that we all need to consider very, very much. And this is what Jeremiah wrote about. This is something that people can, you know, can really buy into and say, this is also my faith in the Lord. In chapter 10, it's absolutely important for one to see this. Verse 14, everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. That is a sad reality. Okay, and then we go on further. Verse 21, the shepherds have become dull-hearted. That is worse. That is worse. And so we need to have people who really, really believe this. We are not just people who are dull-hearted. We don't want to be shepherds who are dull-hearted either. And they have not sought the Lord. What do we want to really, really, really see? In verse 23, And so Jeremiah concludes on this note. And he says, oh Lord, I know this. I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We often think we are, and our footsteps lead us to consider wisdom, to consider might, to consider riches as the road that we ought to walk on. And Jeremiah says, I know this is not the way of men. We don't know enough of the future. We don't know what it will be like. This morning at a Sunday school, one of our young people shared about how her old school friend, now this is the second time now this is already shared, young lawyer, and up and coming, promising, and he kills himself, commits suicide. That's pretty scary. Can he go that way? Now you think, wow, this guy's got everything going for them. And yet, the sad reality is this. The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. So what is the best way to go? I like verse 24. Oh Lord, correct me. Okay, correct me, but not in your anger. Otherwise, I will come to nothing. And we need the Lord to correct us in our understanding of what it really, really means for us to live our life and to live it significantly. Tonight, a team of us, including Moses and Eugene, the pastoral team, together with Christopher Lai, he's ministering over in Perth right now. He's going to leave the 2 o'clock flight, be in the airport at 7 something, and we leave about 8 o'clock for India. So it's going to be a very, very tight schedule. But he still wants to go. You know, what are we going to do there? We've got about 150 young people, and we want to share with them with all our hearts what it really means to believe in the Lord and to follow Him. And it's going to be hard. The traffic is crazy, if not crazier now. And our focus is our conviction. This is what we should glory in. We have a great and wonderful God. And He is worth speaking about. He is worth sharing. And we want to share our faith and understanding of what it means to follow the Lord. And this is something that we are deeply, deeply convicted in doing. Why? Because the Lord has become our portion. We have, among everything else, we have chosen the Lord as our portion. We have chosen the Lord as our inheritance. We have chosen the Lord because we know who He is, that He is the Lord, exercising loving kindness, righteousness, and judgment in all the earth. How wonderful it is to know such a God. How wonderful it is to be able to have a faith in this God, establish it, and then to extol Him. And our challenge to everyone in church is to do the same thing. But truly, the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. This is Jeremiah 10:10, and it is something that we all should look into very carefully and may it become a part of our lives. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You that we can know You, that we can truly speak of a personal faith. We thank You that we can make You our portion, our inheritance. And we have chosen this pathway, but we know that the way of man is not in himself. And so, Father, we pray that You will lead us rather than for us to lead ourselves. We pray that You will bless and keep us in Your faith, in Your love, in Your word. We pray that You will bless us as we give this offering. Receive this offering as a love gift from our hearts. Because we acknowledge who You are, that You are indeed a portion of our lives. And we pray for Your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.